The following is a paid program and may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting
and WFED. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individuals or advertisers as indicated. WFED does not endorse or take responsibility for those statements or opinions. Federal News Radio accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracies or errors in admissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte, a program where executives and federal government leaders talk about the issues and initiatives that are making a real impact on the business of government today to help government help America. On today's show, we'll talk about risk management and data security, how federal agencies can prevent high-profile data breaches from taking place. And we welcome Amri Junaidin, Principal, Deloitte & Touche, and Federal Technology Risk Leader to the show. Hi, Amri.
Jane, nice to be on the show.
Also, Mike Brown, Senior Manager in Deloitte's Federal Technology Risk Practice and former Chief Information Security Officer of the Federal Aviation Administration. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Jane. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Thank you.
It's great to see both of you. All right, so departments and agencies alike are realizing that strengthening their ability to secure and protect data is crucial to protecting all the sensitive data the federal government houses, and that's quite a bit. So in your view, and Amri, I'll go to you first, what are agencies doing to strengthen their data security? And is it enough? Have they done enough at this point?
Jane, that's a great question to set the stage here. I believe that the concept of data protection is still in its infancy. So let me start off by saying that. And the reason I say that is because, like you pointed out, the volume of information and the complexity upon which that data is actually stored and transmitted, et cetera, in the federal government is immense. And it is only fairly recently that the level of attention being paid to matters of data protection and preventing these kinds of high-profile breaches have really come to the forefront in almost every single agency. And, you know, one can actually point to something like a WikiLeaks and say, wow, that was big. That was massive on a scale like we've never seen before. But that's just one example, Jane. I think that we've got to look at the number of breaches that happen on a daily, if not a weekly, if not daily basis across federal government. And I believe that many agencies are in their infancy of trying to really figure out what to do about it, and primarily because of the complexity and really not knowing where to start. It is, again, it goes without saying that some agencies actually have a better handle and a better grasp of what to do because they might have been at it for longer. But I believe it's at its infancy with a lot of work to be done. I'm going to turn the tables over to Mike here and say, Mike, you've just come here to Deloitte after being in the federal government for 40 years, 10 years with the FAA most recently. What are you seeing?
Well, what we're seeing is that this has become a real challenge for the federal sector. Especially when you take a look at the whole gamut of information and the acquisition of information. And so before, federal agencies had to take a look at really data in three areas, data in use, data in motion, and data in transit. And so what this has caused now with these privacy breaches and things like WikiLeaks is that now really agencies have to look at data acquisition in addition to data at rest, data at use, and data in motion. And then the last part of it is data in destruction. And so the first part has been really critical in being able to identify, you know, when you get information in, how is that information going to be classified? Who's going to have access to it? Where's it going to be stored? And then is it really essential that somebody have access to this information as a means of being able for them to be able to accomplish their roles and responsibilities in their job on a daily basis.
And so, Amri, you mentioned WikiLeaks. So let's just start with that, realizing that this is, you know, has a little age on it now. It's kind of gotten forgotten. It's not in the headlines anymore, but it's not been forgotten by the federal government. How have agencies been reacting to the WikiLeaks breach, and what's changed since then, or what needs to change?
I think the federal government has come up with a number of different responses, both at the kind of the OMB level and also at the individual agency level. So I'm going to let Mike talk in a couple of minutes about what the OMB has done with the memo that they have issued requiring each government agency to actually come up with an assessment of their data protection strategies. But let me focus a little bit on what some of the agencies are doing. Number one, because of the heightened awareness at the very senior levels of almost every single organization, they're basically going through a process of trying to understand where their data is, what their data is, where it is, how it is transmitted, how it is stored, how it is destroyed, how it is archived, and so on. So in essence, understanding the business process around data, the movement of data across their organization. Listen, I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people used to believe that this was purely a technological problem. Right, so they used to blame IT systems for everything that happened in relation to data loss and data breaches, but that's actually one part of the problem. If you look at what happened with WikiLeaks, it was really a case of a privileged user with a lot of information who basically did something that was wrong, did something that was not supposed to have been done. So I think organizations across the board are beginning to take a lot more of a holistic view of understanding what their data is, understanding what their data life cycle is, and then figuring out how they basically protect it. And some of them are even going to the extent of saying, how can we truly take a risk-based approach toward this? Because quite frankly, if you try to protect all of the data you have, it's clearly not cost-effective. And quite frankly, I don't think it's warranted either. So it's really a matter of agencies understanding exactly what data they need to protect and figure out how to do it in the most cost-effective manner. And Mike, it'll be great if you can provide some comments on the recent memo from the OMB.
Yeah, so OMB came out with a memo shortly after WikiLeaks. It basically said everybody needs to go through and take a look at their processes and procedures and how to handle information. And it's just not classified information. It's sensitive information that really you don't want to be have out in the wild. And so the agencies are now going through and looking at where their information comes from, and then what are the processes and procedures they have in place for giving people access to that data, as well as being able to share the data amongst themselves within their lines of business or their business units, as well as other governmental agencies. What was a unique challenge to the FAA was that because of the business we were in, which is managing the national airspace system, the FAA had to share information with approximately 130 different countries. And that became a bit of a challenge as to what information you wanted them to share and what information you really didn't want to have out there in other countries. And so the FAA was kind of well ahead of the game in this respect by being able to look at operational data and then defining and determining what kinds of information to be shared or not. One of the things that really kind of put the federal agencies kind of ahead of the power curve, if you would, is in the dealing of the whole issue of privacy, because one of the things that all of the different privacy leaks had to address was, where is your privacy data located? And so one of the things that the agencies, federal agencies, have to go through now is exactly where are your data points, where are your entrances into the organization of data, and then where is it being kept? Is it in server farms? Is it being kept on thumb drives? And so this has become a real challenge for federal agencies to go through and identify all of the different sources of data and then all of the different places where the data is stored. Now, I will tell you that a lot of agencies now are going through putting in point solutions to dealing with data and the distribution of data. But really, you want to look at it really in a more broad terms, where you look at not only a cultural issue, but also a technology issue. And so a lot of information about where the data is stored, what are the rules and policies governing that data, who has access to that data, is there some methodology we can put in place whereby you have somebody that comes in out of the normal business working hours and is accessing large amounts of data that it really shouldn't be accessing? You know, where are the firewalls to guard against those kinds of things? And so this whole idea of governance and policy now is added into being able to come up with a technology solution to be able to take a look at data loss and data prevention.
So is technology really going to provide the answer? Is that the one factor that if agencies employ some new technology, you know, some way to look at the data and make sure that it's not, you know, being used improperly, is that really the only solution you're looking for?
No, I think what we're looking for is taking a look at a whole enterprise-wide solution around data protection. And that begins, as I said before, with the acquisition of data and how it's classified and who has, under the business rules, who has access to that data. And then taking it through its various stages and then finally ending with the destruction of that data. So some of it is technology, and it's putting technology on the wire that will look for sensitive data that is being exfiltrated or being shared with outside agencies or even internally. But then you also have to look at the governance piece of it, the policies and the procedures piece of it. You know, what processes do you have in place for the destruction of the data, whether it's on a hard drive or a thumb drive or if it's archived information?
You know, another part of that, and I agree with everything that Mike has talked about, one additional thing that I will introduce here is the concept of learning and education and awareness. So if you look again at many of the data breaches that have happened both in the commercial space and in the federal space, oftentimes it happens because people do, stupid things, right? So it's not because, and some of them might be because they are intentional, and sometimes it's completely unintentional. So one of the other things that we've seen kind of leading edge organizations do in terms of advancing data protection is making sure that there's a robust plan in place to educate and make their employees and other stakeholders highly aware of the issues associated with data protection in terms of truly understanding, you know, the level of sensitivity and the level of classification that needs to be afforded to information and little things that people can do to protect information, not to fall prey to social engineering, not to take classified information and putting it on some kind of a file share on the internet that might not be protected, not to take information that needs to be restricted and putting it on one of those little jazz drives, which is not encrypted and handing it out to people to kind of for mass distribution. There are lots of things that can be accomplished purely by having a much better educated workforce and a business partner community.
You know, Omri, I got to tell you, I was at a meeting last week, and I was surprised to hear a former federal CIO of a large governmental agency make the comment that they felt that user training really was a waste of time. And I was really taken aback by the comment because we always, and still do, consider the user to really be the first line of defense. And the more training the user has, the better off your protection is about the inadvertent data leak or the privacy breach or the leakage of data. And so that's why you'll find that under FISMA, there's a requirement to do user training. And the training has evolved over the years from just general security, changing your password. Here are some different changes we've had in policy to really getting into privacy data and the protection of privacy data. And then how you go through and take a look at the handling of information, not just the classified information, but that sensitive information, who you share it with, and so on. And so the user training has really evolved over the years to accommodate and take into all of these various components. And so I was really kind of surprised to hear that comment, and I really wouldn't agree with that.
You know, perhaps one thing that organizations can do across the board as it relates to user training is to make sure that they enhance the effectiveness of that training. So I think what sometimes happens, Mike, and you've seen this many times over your career, is that there's kind of training for the sake of training, right? It's the same rebadge stuff that's, you know, the posters that get put up on the wall, et cetera. Ultimately, I think organizations and agencies across the board need to figure out if the training and education education and awareness that has happened, it really has an impact on changing the culture of an organization in terms of how they view data and how they basically weave that into the fabric of the organization. I think if that has happened, I think all of their training dollars would have been extraordinarily well spent.
You're listening to Fed Central on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back with more from Amri Junedine, Principal, Deloitte & Touche, and Federal Technology Risk Leader, and Mike Brown, Senior Manager in Deloitte's Federal Technology Risk Practice, and former Chief Information Security Officer of the Federal Aviation Administration, in just a moment. I'm Jane Norris.
Recent high-profile data breaches exposed critical flaws in the way that government agencies and commercial organizations manage sensitive information. Deloitte is helping leaders develop a more holistic approach to protecting their data. How? By helping agencies apply a risk-based strategy to mitigate threats inside and outside their organization and establish a common-sense approach to investment planning to help make the most of tight budgets. Download The New Point of View, A Perfect Storm, at deloitte.com/us/cyber.
Welcome back to Fed Central, brought to you by Deloitte. Today, we're talking about risk management and data security, how federal agencies can prevent high-profile data breaches from taking place. Our guests, Amri Junedine, Principal, Deloitte & Touche, and Federal Technology Risk Leader, and Mike Brown, Senior Manager in Deloitte's Federal Technology Risk Practice, and former Chief Information Security Officer of the Federal Aviation Administration. So, gentlemen, I'm just going to ask how the obvious question, the elephant in the room, if you will, with government going through a lot of cost efficiency, cost reduction, probably, you know, budget tightening. How does their ability to implement new data security, parameters, how does it get impacted by all the cost pressures?
Well, I would think, Jane, that picking up on the comment that was made right before the break, training then becomes really paramount in being able to do some kind of cost-effective stop measures to be able to increase the protection level and reduce the risk that agencies are facing if they have a well-trained workforce. And so I think really training at the user level and above becomes paramount in being able to do that. So when I say above, it's really important that that not only the everyday user get trained on the do's and don'ts about handling information and about handling privacy information, but also the senior guys too, the administrator, the associate administrator, deputy administrator, those folks too also have to be aware about the actions that they take, and the information that they're dealing with has to be guarded as well as well as the staff officer, if you would, at the user level.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, the whole issue of cost is a real issue. So, Jane, you're right on point there. When organizations across the board, inside and outside of IT, are faced with some difficult decisions on where and how to spend scarce dollars and resources, and you know as well as I do that this situation is going to become worse before it becomes better. They're faced with these decisions every day. So do I basically spend $1 million protecting my data, or do I take that $1 million and do something else that's mission sensitive? Now, this is a question that every agency needs to ask themselves, right, in terms of how is their mission going to be impacted? How is their brand going to be impacted? How is their stakeholder community going to be impacted? How is their reputation going to stay intact if they have a data breach? I think that's the question that they've got to ask themselves. And then make some strategic decisions on how to basically spend some money on this important issue. Now, I think we mentioned before that enterprise data protection, the way we look at it, the ideal case scenario is to look at this as a risk management issue. And the risk tolerance that an organization have, again, is a very personal thing to that particular organization. So it's really about understanding what your risk tolerance are, tolerances are, understanding what your data is and where it is and how they want to protect it. And at a minimum, make sure that your crown jewels and other information that can truly get an organization into trouble in the front of the Washington Post is basically protected. And at the same time, make sure that you're taking advantage of the training methods that are new and improved, taking advantage of kind of technological advances to kind of detect data leakage and data loss from happening, making sure that you've got tight governance processes and tight policies in place. You know, lots of things that organizations can do to still take care of this issue in a cost-effective way with the limited resources they have. I would say that it'll be a big mistake to actually put this on a back burner. That's for sure.
And is there a strata of information that really should be protected more than other information? For instance, sensitive data. Do agencies have to work more closely to try to figure out what they need to protect and what really isn't that necessary to protect?
Yeah, so I think this gets to the heart of the matter, where you really need to have some kind of governance structure put in place that really looks and examines at the information that agencies are collecting and storing. It could be in the form of a board, a council, some kind of governance group that really goes ahead and almost categorizes the importance to the organization of risk of the information. And what's the risk to the organization if this information gets out into the wild or is misused or is taken over, if you would. And so you need some kind of a group that would say, okay, this is, as Armory was saying, this is the crown jewels of the organization. And the information around that is the thing that we have to protect the most. Some of the lower level stuff, okay, maybe we don't have to pay as much attention to that as we do. So in the case of the FAA, it's information around the National Airspace System. You know, we put that in a very trusted enclave with very tight regulations on who had access to it and how the information was used and so on. So you have to have a board or some kind of a governance mechanism in place to really analyze the data that's coming in. How is it being used? How is it being stored? And what's the risk value to the organization if that data is compromised in some way?
And the other thing that organizations often overlook, Jane, is the concept of context for the information or the data, right? So a single piece of information might not really be too bad in itself, but in combination with other pieces of data or information, they can be quite deadly in terms of exposure, right? And the impact of that exposure. So the other thing that we often advise the clients that we work with is to basically think about the context of the information they're working with and in aggregate, right? So look at multiple pieces of data and in aggregate, are they basically providing, or is that data then providing a different value to that particular organization and a different risk threshold? So like we said before, this is a complex issue that is multidimensional. You've got to pretty much take a look at it holistically and you know, make sure that you've got the right resources is working on it.
And if a breach takes place, what should an agency do? Are there protocol steps that they should think about before taking action, or what should be in place if there is a breach?
You know, I think the first thing to do is to not wait for a breach to happen, right?
Right.
So lots of organizations, they basically try to figure out what to do when the breach actually takes place. But organizations are basically thinking ahead of this issue, have a breach response plan in place. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time to go through all the various elements of what that means, but at a minimum, we've got to figure out what the governance around a data breach is going to be. So, for example, who's going to be involved? Do our legal people need to be involved? IT needs to be involved? Our forensics people, our agency heads all the way to the top of the chain, and external counsel if appropriate, and some of our mission people, make sure you have a good sense of who needs to be involved, what they're going to do, how they're going to basically respond to the breach by stopping the bleeding from happening, right? So, for example, if there's a hacking attack that takes place, do you have a process in place to make sure that the system systems get shut down, if that's appropriate? And then what kind of communication plan do you need to have in place to make sure that your internal and external stakeholder groups know exactly what's going on so that's well controlled? And then best friends from the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal are going to be kind of hovering all over as well. So what's the plan around media and communication, stakeholder impact, and all of those kinds of things? So you've got to figure out what your plan is to respond to the issue. And then while that's happening, a little bit staggered, you also talk about and figure out how you actually investigate what happened. So post-breach and post-response, you're going to have a strategy in place to make sure that you understood what happened. You know, what are the threats and vulnerabilities that you need to be aware of? You know, how do you basically put together a proper risk management process to make sure it does not happen again to either those systems or to other systems that might be similar?
And so I think the agencies in some way are already taking proactive steps to be able to address that. Let me give you an example. So when HSPD-12 came out, which really got federal agencies looking at privacy and data and credentialing and permissions and use of smart card technology, in the course of being able to implement that strategy, the agencies really had to go through and look at permissions and rule-based privileges based on the person's role in an organization. And in essence, what they started doing was being able to take a look at access to information. And if this person is a manager, then what access to information does he need? What permissions does he need to be able to manipulate that data and view that data? It's going to be different if you are a GS-12 staff officer as opposed to a GS-15 manager who has to have time and attendance, leave and earnings, various permissions, financial data, and so on. And so agencies have already started down this road. I think, you know, having a plan in place is essential. You've got to be able to have a kind of a disaster recovery plan in place. We have it for physical destruction. We ought to have one on the logical side also that deals in the area of information and privacy.
And so what you're talking about, I think, is the insider threat, someone who's inside the organization that is, you know, probably more of a threat to the organization or wishes to do harm to the organization for whatever variety of reasons. So how do you mitigate that person?
Yeah, so by taking those meaningful steps that says, okay, a person in this position really needs access to this kind of information to be able to do his or her job, really takes goes a long way to be able to mitigating the access to information that a person really doesn't need, and then thereby collecting a whole lot of information that can be used in different ways on the outside. So I think being able to look at the roles and responsibilities, classification of the data, and then access and use of that data really goes a long way in being able to help kind of mitigate or blunt the threat from an insider attack.
Omri?
Yeah, and with the insiders, I mean, there are, again, you can use some of the technological advances that we've seen to figure out if there are patterns and some anomalies that are going on with certain types of particularly privileged users. So is somebody kind of logging into the systems at 11 p.m. every night when they're not supposed to? Are they routinely taking information from a particular set of servers? Is there some irregular pattern of activity that's taking place? There are lots of things that organizations can do to monitor particularly privileged insiders and others as well who've got access to sensitive information.
And so I think, as we look at FISMA 2 coming down the road, I think the whole idea of continuous monitoring will really play into this whole kind of picture that we're trying to paint here today. And the fact that instead of being able to do things on an ad needed basis or every 3 years, we've got continuous monitoring going on. So we're watching the exfiltration of data. We're watching who's coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is kind of outside the normal work hours. We're looking at access to large volumes of data and so on.
Well, we thank you very much for joining us today to talk about this very important issue and make sure that agencies are up to speed with their data security. Thanks to Omri Junadeen, Principal, Deloitte & Touche, and Federal Technology Risk Leader, and to Mike Brown, Senior Manager in Deloitte's Federal Technology Risk Practice and former Chief Information Security Officer at the FAA for joining us today. And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back again with another edition of Fed Central on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.